Hello, listeners. This is Russell, and you're tuned in to Voice Over Work, an audiobook sampler. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024. Today's episode is the chapter-by-chapter preview of Stephen Schuster's book, The Critical Thinker. This book guides you through timeless rules and principles employed by the greatest thinkers in modern history. It will unlock shortcuts for smarter decisions, fine-tune your discernment skills, and help you apply these principles to enrich your personal life, professional journey, and interpersonal relationships. Thanks for joining us today. This is the chapter-by-chapter preview of The Critical Thinker by Stephen Schuster. Chapter 1. What is critical thinking? In the canon of time-honored tales, a fable revolves around a man and his horse. The narrative opens with a lamentable incident where the man's only horse ran away. This calamitous event prompts an immediate wave of condolences from his friends. Yet the unflustered man offers a tranquil response. Let's wait and see, patiently anticipating the future's unpredictable turns. After a few days, the man's horse returned home, leading a troop of 20 untamed horses in its wake. While his friends hastily prepare to revel in this sudden stroke of prosperity, the man perpetuates his composed disposition, his mantra echoing, "Let's wait and see." It isn't long before the man's luck changes for the worst, as his only son is grievously injured by one of the wild horses, resulting in both legs being broken. As before, his peers hasten to offer comfort, yet he opts for continued patience, resolute in his desire to calmly appraise the situation. Let's wait and see. In an unexpected twist of fate, war descends upon the nation, and all able-bodied young men are conscripted, many meeting their end on the battlefield. However, due to his son's incapacitated state, he evades the draft, his life spared. His friends rejoice at this silver lining amidst the chaos, but the unwavering man retains his wait-and-see disposition. This fable is a good demonstration of critical thinking at work. The man's serene demeanor, imperturbable in life's vicissitudes, is a testament to his prowess as a critical thinker. He consciously refrains from rushed conclusions, choosing the path of reasoned judgment over emotional reactivity. His observant and meditative stance resists the temptation of being swayed by transient triumphs or setbacks. He comprehends that existence is a mixture of ebbs and flows, and maintains an equanimous mindset, come what may. The basics of critical thinking. Critical thinking is a term we encounter frequently, especially if we browse a bookstore's self-help or psychology section, but what does it mean to think critically? Critical thinking is a highly valued intellectual ability that involves objectively analyzing and evaluating information before forming a judgment. It refers to the ability to look at issues objectively and make reasoned judgments free from emotional bias or unfounded assumptions. Critical thinking unfurls when we ask ourselves and others probative questions like, how do you know that? How did you reach that conclusion? What evidence supports this theory? Are there any other explanations or alternatives that haven't been considered yet? Critical thinkers often resist the allure of instinctual reactions, favoring a methodology grounded in logic and reasoned analysis over emotional impulses. They want evidence-based support of ideas, shunning the acceptance of information at face value. They adopt an investigative approach instead of blindly accepting purported truths by a relative's relative. People prone to have good critical thinking skills have the following three aspects in common. Chapter 2. What are the main guidelines for critical thinking? In their seminal works, Psychology and Psychology in Perspective, Carol Wade and Carol Tavris highlight seven primary facets of critical thinking. In the forthcoming discourse, we shall meticulously dissect these seven critical thinking guidelines and elucidate their applicability in our quotidian existence. The first step to start thinking critically is learning to ask questions. Allow your mind to wonder, reflect on your questions, and pay close attention to the answers you get. Try to think of questions that haven't been answered yet. Try to find the areas of a problem or theory that no one has asked questions about. Then ask yourself, why was this part of the problem or theory previously ignored? How did we end up where we are? What's wrong here? Why is this the way it is instead of another way? To illustrate the concept, let's consider the frequency at which individuals significantly alter their life paths, influenced by a lone, anecdotal instance relayed by another person. From our choice of restaurants, to the vehicles we operate, and the academic institutions we select for our children, our decisions are often rooted in a singular narrative recounting another's experience. A story. Amelia found herself in a predicament. Her 12-year-old son, Jim, was progressing toward high school, and the time was ripe to select a suitable institution. Amelia's close friend, Sarah, had recently enrolled her son in Ivywood Preparatory School, a renowned academy nearby. Sarah could stop singing praises of the school's curriculum, faculty, and infrastructure. After hearing Sarah's firsthand account, Amelia wanted to enroll Jim in Ivywood Prep. However, Amelia, a scientist at heart, approached this decision like she would a complex research question. She reasoned that Sarah's account, although compelling, was a single data point, an anecdote, and did not guarantee that Ivywood would be the best choice for Jim. She identified her primary question: would Ivywood cater to Jim's learning style? Would it provide a nurturing environment to foster his talents and interests? Amelia decided to dig deeper and collect as much information as possible. She consulted other parents, read online reviews, studied the school's curriculum and educational philosophy, and even visited to observe the learning environment. She kept an open mind, acknowledging her bias towards Sarah's strong endorsement and consciously attempting to sidestep it. During her research, Amelia discovered a smaller, less known school, Oakville Academy. This school's experiential learning approach aligned perfectly with Jim's kinesthetic learning style. It also boasted a vibrant drama club, a plus given Jim's burgeoning interest in theater. While it lacked Ivywood's prestige, the ethos and teaching approach seemed a more fitting choice for her son. Amelia's critical thinking skills led her to a decision different from the one she might have made based on a single, albeit persuasive, anecdote. She exemplified critical thinking in action by asking probing questions, seeking diverse sources of information, maintaining an open mind, and carefully evaluating her findings. Amelia's careful choice mirrors our daily. Chapter 3. Piaget's Theory on Thinking. Jean Piaget, a renowned Swiss psychologist, greatly transformed our understanding of children's cognitive development. While his work in this field was published in 1936, it still plays a vital role in children's education today. Contrary to prior beliefs that children were merely mini adults, Piaget's work underscored the unique cognitive processes of children, underlining that intelligence is not predetermined, but evolves. This chapter will discuss how human cognition is developed from birth. Through Piaget's theory of cognitive development, we'll see how we gradually acquire more knowledge over time and why it is so important to learn critical thinking skills early on. How did Piaget develop his theory? Piaget's theory of cognitive development categorizes mental growth into four stages, viewing children as active learners who expand their knowledge through interactions with their environment. This approach was influenced by Piaget's early experiences in scoring IQ tests, where he noted distinct patterns in the errors made by younger versus older children, bolstering his belief that children's cognition is fundamentally different from that of adults. Piaget's insights into cognitive development highlight the importance of nurturing critical thinking skills from an early age. He believed that as children engage with the world, they continuously build upon their existing knowledge, learning to think, reason, and problem solve. Piaget's four stages of cognitive development. The sensory motor stage, birth to 2 years old. This stage is marked by significant learning and discovery. The world is explored through sensory and motor interactions. Methods include observing, listening, and tactile exploration. A primary understanding achieved in this period is object permanence, the concept that entities persist even when invisible. This understanding is fundamental to activities like peekaboo. Children also start recognizing the effect of their actions on their environment, such as a dropped bottle being picked up, and often experiment with these consequences. Moreover, they identify and label distinct objects and people as separate entities, like calling out daddy or identifying a ball. During immense growth, the sensory motor stage is when children initiate crawling, walking, and considerable language development. Jean Piaget, the renowned psychologist, considered the realization of object permanence a milestone achievement in this stage. Accidental actions, like sucking a thumb or squealing, often evolve into intentional repetitions due to the pleasure derived from these actions. This is why an object is frequently dropped once the child realizes it will be picked up for them. Imitation and experimentation form the basis of learning during this stage. Children realize that a pot's banging produces a loud noise, or a button's push lights up a toy, and they enjoy the repetition of these actions. As the stage concludes, children begin to understand symbols like pictures or sign language as representations of the real world. They start recognizing familiar faces in pictures or using signs to communicate their needs, mitigating the frustration from an inability to express their desires fully. The pre-operational stage, from 2 to 7 years old. Chapter 4, The Essential Dimensions of Critical Thinking. Dr. Richard Paul and Dr. Linda Elder are seminal figures in critical thinking. Their collaborative work provides a comprehensive framework to understand, teach, and apply critical thinking in everyday life and professional settings. They've expanded the concept beyond a simple analytical process into a comprehensive and multidimensional practice that encourages fair-mindedness, intellectual empathy, and rigorous standards of excellence. Dr. Richard Paul, who served as the Director of Research and Professional Development at the Center for Critical Thinking, made significant contributions to the theory and practice of critical thinking. His insightful writings and teachings have influenced educational strategies and pedagogical approaches worldwide. Dr. Linda Elder, an educational psychologist and the president of the Foundation for Critical Thinking, has focused on advancing critical thinking across different educational, professional, and cultural contexts. Her vast body of work, in collaboration with Dr. Paul and independently, continues to serve as a resource for educators, researchers, and practitioners interested in fostering critical thinking skills. Understanding and applying the universal intellectual standards proposed by Paul and Elder is fundamental to practicing genuine critical thinking. These standards provide a roadmap for intellectually disciplined thinking. They ensure that the information processed is accurate, precise, fair, and significant to the topic at hand. Applying these standards helps develop a structured and objective approach to reasoning and problem solving, enhancing decision-making abilities in personal, academic, and professional spheres. It fosters intellectual empathy by encouraging individuals to consider diverse viewpoints. Moreover, it cultivates intellectual humility as it requires acknowledging biases and errors in one's thinking. Therefore, the universal intellectual standards form the bedrock of intellectual growth and are instrumental in nurturing an informed and democratic society. By combining these standards with the elements of thought, another cornerstone of Paul and Elder's framework, the practice of critical thinking becomes more robust, effective, and fair. The Universal Intellectual Standards. Dr. Richard Paul and Dr. Linda Elder introduced the concept of universal intellectual standards to guide critical thinking. The standards include clarity. This involves asking for more details or examples to understand the information better. Can you explain in more detail? Can you provide examples? Accuracy. Here, the focus is on verifying the information and cross-checking with other sources. How could we verify that? Do any other sources support those findings? Precision. This involves asking for more specific or detailed information. Can you be more specific? Can you be more detailed in your description? Relevance. This deals with how the information connects to the problem and helps solve it. How is that connected to the problem at hand? How does it help us solve the problem? Depth. This concerns the challenges and difficulties associated with the problem. Chapter 5. How to practice your critical thinking skills regularly? To develop robust critical thinking skills, beginning with the fundamentals before progressing to more complex layers is imperative. It's necessary to fully comprehend the underlying basics that form the bedrock of all thinking. Deconstruct thinking into its elemental parts to facilitate more nuanced understanding and development. By consistently employing the intellectual traits highlighted earlier until they become an ingrained part of your cognition, you will evolve into a potent critical thinker capable of formulating questions that are lucid, precise, and substantial, gathering, scrutinizing, and deciphering information related to the subject in question, drawing informed, meticulously considered conclusions based on verifiable facts and evidence, maintaining an open-minded stance, willing to receive and consider information from diverse sources, even when it appears to counter or contradict your ideas and beliefs, collaborating effectively with others to unravel complex problems. Critical thinking practices. We touched on some of these aspects before, but as you know, repetition is the mother of knowledge. 1. Challenge your assumptions. Assumptions, beliefs accepted without proof, can be misleading. Regularly reassess them to ensure they're accurate. 2. Validate information from reliable sources. Though assessing every piece of data can be tedious, always be skeptical, even when the source is trustworthy. 3. Cultivate curiosity. Constant questioning is the essence of critical thinking. Without it, truth remains elusive. 4. Recognize personal biases. Acknowledging biases is key to achieving objective judgment and sharpening critical thinking. 5. Think ahead. Predicting possible outcomes enhances preparedness, which, in turn, aids in better decision-making. 6. Engage with books. They provide alternate perspectives, provoke debate, and foster learning, feeding your mind with novel ideas. 7. Practice empathy. Understanding different perspectives through empathy enhances critical thinking and personal growth. 8. Explore alternatives. Dig deeper to uncover more choices before deciding. You may discover better options than initially anticipated. 9. Seek wisdom from others. Recognizing the limits of your knowledge and seeking expert advice broadens your understanding and promotes continuous learning. 10. Be open to change, yet firm when justified. With rapid advancements in knowledge, being open to new information is necessary, while standing your ground when you have evidence-backed arguments. 11. Demonstrate diplomacy. Embrace diverse viewpoints to make well-informed decisions and draw accurate conclusions. 12. Learn to critique effectively. Develop your critique skills by learning from others' strengths and weaknesses in their arguments. 13. Chapter 6. Barriers to Critical Thinking. Critical thinking is impartially assessing an issue and arriving at a well-informed conclusion based on facts and evidence while setting aside personal biases, unsubstantiated assumptions, and unverified opinions. We've all probably leaped to a conclusion or made an impulsive decision without thorough fact-checking, only to regret it later. Critical thinking is a tool to help us circumvent such remorse. This section will explore various human tendencies and obstacles that might impede our critical thinking capacity. Recognizing and comprehending these barriers constitutes a significant stride towards surmounting them. Egocentrism, the self-centric barrier. Egocentrism, our predisposition to perceive ourselves as the center of attention, can often cloud our judgment. While being predominantly concerned with our interests is natural, it can hinder objective thought. Consider a situation where we're required to appraise someone else's performance. The challenge lies in setting aside our egocentric views to provide an unbiased evaluation. We may weigh our interests, such as how our statement might impact our status, or recall a personal grudge that clouds our judgment. Consequently, personal biases can inhibit us from making fair, objective evaluations and employing critical thinking skills. Egocentrism obstructs our capacity to perceive other perspectives, thereby hindering critical thinking. Although egocentric tendencies decrease with age, they persist to varying degrees in every individual and pose a lifelong challenge to objectivity. Recognizing and actively countering this bias can enhance our critical thinking abilities. Scientific studies corroborate this understanding. A research conducted by Barron and Hanna tested 152 participants between 18 and 25 to see if there was a connection between depression and egocentrism. They reported that people suffering from depression display higher levels of egocentrism than those who don't. Another research by Surtees and Apperle revealed that adults were more prone to egocentric errors while making quick judgments. In their study, participants wrongly assumed that a digital avatar shared their viewpoint while estimating the number of dots displayed on a screen. This tendency to hastily conclude without considering multiple perspectives is a trait that contradicts effective critical thinking. As humans, we often fail to realize the limitations of our viewpoints and the potential insights that others' perspectives offer. We're prone to perceive our worldview as comprehensive and objective. Acknowledging our innate egocentrism and striving to overcome it is crucial to honing our critical thinking skills. Sociocentrism. Sociocentrism extends our egocentrism to our social groups. We naturally feel our group is superior or more often correct than others, creating group bias. For instance, sports fans might view their team as superior, overlooking faults while readily criticizing rival teams for the same issues. Group bias often triggers the herd instinct, where critical thinking is abandoned for group acceptance. For example, in a workplace, an employee might agree with a flawed strategy just... Chapter 7. Understand deeply. Deepening your critical thinking involves mastering the fundamentals before navigating complexity. Everything we learn, from basic math to bike riding, forms a foundation for building more advanced skills. This principle applies universally, from driving a car to understanding quantum physics. We carry biases and preconceived notions that may not always align with factual evidence. Deepening understanding requires acknowledging these biases and remaining open-minded to new concepts. Think of complex ideas as a pool. Diving into the deep end without prior knowledge can be overwhelming. Instead, start at the shallows, breaking down complex concepts into simpler, digestible parts. Prioritize what's essential. Master the basics without becoming overwhelmed by additional details. As you gain confidence in your understanding, you can reintegrate these complexities. Breaking down complex concepts offers several advantages. Allows immediate focus on the central issue, helps you see how parts connect, fosters creativity once you've mastered the basics, increases productivity and confidence by enabling early achievements, reduces stress as you visibly track your progress. Exercise. Concept breakdown and mapping. Choose a topic. Choose a complex topic that interests you and that you want to understand better. It can be a subject matter from a book, a new skill, or a complex issue in current affairs. Identify the core ideas. Break down the topic into its simplest elements. What are the fundamental principles or core concepts that form the foundation of the topic? Create a mind map. Using these core ideas, create a mind map, with each core idea forming a branch of the map. Add layers. Once you have a basic map, add another layer by expanding on each core idea. What are some important points or sub-ideas that fall under each core concept? Self-review. Take a break and return to your map. Test your understanding by reviewing each branch and explaining it to yourself in your own words. If there are any areas where your understanding is shaky, flag them for further investigation. Research and reflect. For each flagged area, do some targeted research. Read relevant articles, watch instructional videos, or seek expert opinions. Reflect on what you learn and update your map accordingly. Challenge assumptions. Examine your map critically. Are there any assumptions that need to be challenged? Can you think of any alternative perspectives? Ask for feedback. Discuss your findings with a trusted friend or mentor. Share your ideas and beliefs about your chosen topic and see how well you can describe it to an outsider. Ask them for feedback. Integrate and apply. Once you're confident in your understanding, try to apply this knowledge in a practical context or relate it to another topic you know well. This will help consolidate your learning and deepen your understanding. Remember, this is a process. Take your time and don't rush. The goal is to gain a solid understanding of basic principles and gradually build on them rather than... Chapter 8, On Ethics and Impartiality. Resist indoctrination. Indoctrination instills ideas strictly from one perspective, anticipating these ideas to be accepted unquestionably without any critical examination. Children begin distinguishing between ethical and moral rights and wrongs at a young age. The earlier we can furnish them with critical thinking skills, the better equipped they will be to make ethical and moral judgments that will influence their character throughout their lives. If we endeavor to instruct children about right and wrong behaviors without equipping them with the critical thinking skills necessary for analyzing these concepts, we expose them to the risk of succumbing to the barriers to critical thinking, distorting their judgment, and depriving them of a deeper comprehension of morals and ethics. This holds not just for children, but anyone of any age lacking the capacity to think critically. Teaching and learning morals and ethics is a complex process, as it might appear that a consensus on a standard moral behavior should be universally agreed upon. However, the world isn't as clear-cut. Numerous gray areas exist where a definitive correct answer is ambiguous or non-existent. Consequently, disagreements are more common to occur over what constitutes moral and ethical behavior in specific circumstances, although there's more concordance on broad general principles. For instance, a large majority would agree that stealing is morally wrong, a broad general principle. However, when confronted with the specific scenario of someone resorting to theft due to an inability to feed their family, opinions on the morality of such an act would significantly diverge. Individuals can only be expected to behave ethically and morally if they understand these concepts. If they confuse their ethical understanding with their egocentric desires and needs, or the sociocentric views they hold with their social group, they will struggle to make ethical decisions. The most effective strategy to prevent personal interests from clouding moral judgment is employing critical thinking skills to analyze situations and draw objective, thoroughly informed conclusions. The absence of critical thinking skills can make individuals susceptible to others imposing their biases, prejudices, and closed-mindedness, either inadvertently or intentionally. This can lead to indoctrination, causing individuals to perceive right and wrong from a singular viewpoint without the ability to question and make informed decisions for themselves. Cultivating robust critical thinking skills and practicing their application to analyze diverse situations from multiple perspectives can serve as the best defense against such occurrences, helping to determine if morals and ethics are being upheld or discarded. Exercise: resist indoctrination through critical thinking. 1. Identify potential indoctrination. Choose a news article, an advertisement, a political speech, or a social media post that you believe could potentially be a form of indoctrination. This should promote a certain viewpoint or perspective without encouraging independent thought. 2. Analyze the content. Read or listen to the content carefully. Make notes on the main points and arguments that are being presented. Pay close attention to the language used. Is it persuasive, emotional, or bias-encouraging? 3. Identify biases.
Thanks for listening to Voice Over Work, an audiobook sampler. Where do you listen? If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, newtonmg.com, to your friends and colleagues. Also, be sure to check out Stephen Schuster on Amazon and Audible for all his available book titles. Join us next week, and we'll have the audiobook preview of a whole new work. This has been Voice Over Work, an audiobook sampler. Where do you listen?